Judges 7. I was just up at the Niskav Ladak. Niskav Ladak is Hebrew for shelter for the oppressed. What is a Niskav Ladak? It is a fellowship of believers that Moriel helps local people to plant. All of them are, while affiliated with Moriel, are all autonomous and self-governing. We don't believe in centralization or hierarchy. We believe in doctrinal unity, spiritual unity, free association. We don't believe in centralization or hierarchicalization. Nonetheless, Moriel goes around, and when there are no Bible-based Pentecostal or charismatic fellowships in a given area, because of Toronto ecumenism and the rest of it, we, when invited, will help people to begin fellowship. I was just at the one in Wigan. After a year, the one in Wigan now has its own building. Praise the Lord. Walsall, come along. We also have an eye on a building there, but don't tell anybody. Hastings, Bangor in North Wales, new one in Rotherham. People in Stoke and Trent are looking for one. Various ones around the country. I'm going down to the West Country in the Southwest next week. We're looking for this thing of Niskav Ladak. They're around. Then there are independent messianic type fellowships. Similarly, springing up. I speak at some of them. Obviously, something new is happening. Something different is beginning to happen. As I've been protesting for a couple of years, there are three things of which we may be assured. One, God would not allow this kind of deception to be perpetrated against his son's body without raising up credible and audible voices. Not a voice, but voices against it. I wish there were more voices. If there were more voices, you wouldn't need somebody, an American Israeli, to come to England and say these things. My family were from England, but I was born in New York and my wife and kids are Israeli. What am I doing here? Okay, my family was from here. I'm not a total foreigner, but obviously I'm not what you are. I wish there were more English people standing up and saying these things. Then I could get on with evangelizing Jews or some other such thing, which I'd rather do anyway. Nonetheless, let's look on. These groups are springing up. God would not allow this kind of deception to happen without raising up credible and audible voices against it. Secondly, there will be the faithful remnant. Although the message of these voices may not be listened to, it will be heard. But there will always be the 7,000 who don't bow the knee to Baal. And third, if the traditional and established churches and denominations do not repent and go back to the Lord and back to the Bible, God will begin something. Now, this is happening. It begins small, but it's begun. They're all over the place. Not just the Niskav Ladak, there's other groups. They all tend to be pretty much the same in terms of doctrine. They'd all be premillennial. They'd all be moderately Pentecostal or charismatic, but very anti-excess. They'd all have a strong view of Scripture and concern for right doctrine. They'd all pretty much have a sense of God's prophetic purposes for Israel and the Jews. They would all be pretty much anti-ecumenical. They would all be have things in common like that. But in terms of their structure and worship, and they vary. They vary. Some of them are a mixture of working class and middle class people. Others are mainly working class people. Some are northerners, some are from the Midlands, some are from the southerners. But they're all around. I can't say what God is doing overall. I just see pieces of it. But I do see what he's doing in groups of people such as those who would come to a place like this or to a place like Warsaw. We are very much in a Judges 7 situation. With this in view, let's begin reading Judges chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and camped next to the spring of Harod and the camp of Midian, on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. Now a valley in the Bible is a picture of a trial, isn't it? Moreh is the word for teacher, teaching spiritual knowledge. So often we learn things in valleys. Certainly true of Misgavra Dach, people from out of church is devastated spiritually and emotionally, rejected by friends, sometimes families, relationships that they've had for years. We have a church up north with four generations in a church. Four generations. Some of them in the church nearly 30 years. Family. Left over. Terrible valley for them, so Misgav the Dach began. Get back into Bible teaching. Then, of course, we have the spring. The spring is moving water. What is moving water? Maim Hayim. Isaiah 44:3, John 7:38-39. What is Maim Hayim? What is living water? Holy Spirit. Living water begins to flow. There's teaching despite the fact that it's a trial situation. They're in trials when you read the context. Historical setting, system leben. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands, lest Israel become boastful, saying, my own power has delivered. On the rite of ordeal, the law of jealousy, we talk about how the unfaithful bride or the bride accused or suspected of infidelity has to take her hair down. The self, because the hair is the glory of the woman. Self-glorification of the church. Now, people who have been saved from Roman Catholic backgrounds can understand this very clearly. How many people here are ex-Catholic, ex-RC? Up a little higher, please. Thank you. Roman Catholic Church virtually worships the church. The Holy Mother Church, the church, the church. The institution virtually becomes deified. A faithful bride seeks the honor of her husband, and her husband in turn honors her, the bride, of course, being the church, the bride of Christ. A faithful bride seeks the honor, seeks the glory of her husband, and he in turn glorifies her. An unfaithful bride is the spirit of Jezebel, as in Revelation or as in Jezebel in Kings. She seeks her own glory and simply uses Ahab to get it. Self-glorification. When you understand what's on back of much of dominionism and Kingdom Now theology, now is the time for us to march upon the land. We're building the kingdom. It's self-glorification of the church. God does not share his glory with another. The people become boastful. And he couldn't use a large group to give victory over the Midianites. This nation is very much in a Book of Judges type scenario. What is the setting and the situation of Judges? The people entered the land. The people had the Torah. Yet they went away from the Torah, from the Word of God. And although the enemies had at one time been driven out and pushed back, now enemies are invading them and pushing them back. And so it is in contemporary Britain. Pre-Christian Britain, Anglo-Saxon Wicca. Celtic folk religion, Druidism, pagan Roman religion. These things were thrown back by Christianity. Now, because this nation, and I'm not a Calvinist, I don't believe in covenant theology, I'm simply following a principle. I'm not saying that the nation is the church, is the church, or that church is the new Israel. Principle applies. Has gone away from the Word of God. And so, the enemies are now pushing back the church. More people attend the Roman Catholic Mass on Sunday than will attend Anglican churches. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Islam are doing more to win people for hell than most Christians are doing to win people for heaven. Cults are growing. Eastern religion is taking over. We kept our little daughter home from school 3 weeks ago because they had a special day in school, some kind of an assembly, where they divided the children into groups according to their horoscope. Kept our daughter home because we didn't want her to be made to feel that there was something wrong with her because of peer pressure. She's 11 now, and peer pressure begins to become a factor. So we kept her home. Got a very nasty and insulting letter saying that this is parentally condoned truancy. Over to school. Teaching kids to use condoms in school. Teaching kids that homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle as normative as heterosexuality. School. You don't agree, you're a bigot, you don't want to send your kid there, truancy. We get the persecution of the church, parents of persecution. We're going to talk about this at our conferences. One of the ways of persecution of Christian children in state schools when there's no Christian school to go to. Then, every month, Channel 4, programming director is a lesbian. Every month is some kind of a major feature promoting homosexuality or lesbianism. There's a program called Carnal Knowledge on late night television where couples, not married couples, just living together, whatever, discuss sexual intimacy and draw pictures of each other having sexual relations. And they ask, and it's a quiz show. Comedy quiz show, and they ask these intimate details about their so-called, well, I wouldn't call it a love life, it's a lust life. And this is entertainment. And, you know, it's shocking how women would talk about such things. You know, men would always talk about stuff like that, I guess, at least the ones I've always known, but to even find women talking so openly about this kind of intimacy and the detail about what they do on television and the families watching and things like this. What does that say about society? There's absolutely no sense of moral reproach or it's unbelievable. You know, I wouldn't have any problem if it was just some kind of a scientific program of dealing with human sexuality, you know. But it wasn't anything like that. It's a quiz, comedy quiz thing, and it's vulgar. And can't understand why they put it on, but they put it on, and nobody says anything about this. What's coming? Then, of course, there's New Age, which predominates again in the schools, Eastern religion, and above all, the threat Islam. They have no freedom in their own countries and don't want you to have freedom in yours either. Want to kill a British citizen for writing a book. Homosexuals, Parliament narrowly. What was her name? The one they fired for incompetence as health minister, Edwina Kerry, over the eggs. She proposed a law to make it legal for a full-grown, middle-aged, adult homosexual male to homosexually seduce a 16-year-old boy. That was her bill, conservative government, so-called. Not that Labor would be any better.
That's not political, just an observation.
They rioted. The thing narrowly failed to get through, and they began attacking the homosexuals like the mobs of Sodom, weren't they? Just like sin of Sodom, attacking Parliament. And having a riot and throwing bricks through the windows of Parliament. Tony Blair's wife say we should give some of the juridical powers of lords over to European courts to let them dictate homosexual acceptability, gay marriages and the rest of it, lesbian artificial insemination and the rest of it. So it is. They're taking over. The cults, the Roman Catholic ecumenism, Freemasonry certainly remains strong as ever. City and in government, in Whitehall. Cults are growing. Through ecumenism, Rome is growing. Roman Catholicism itself is not growing, but through ecumenism, it's growing. Eastern religion is growing. Islam, particularly, is growing. And we are being pushed back. People may be rolling on the floor laughing, saying God is doing a wonderful thing. But the actual reality is dying at the top. Wickedness, idolatry, and all that. Church itself is in the back of the faith. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign. Pick up a copy of Elam's Direction magazine. Issue after issue. You may find individual Elam churches that are not into this stuff. But as a movement, Elam as a movement and its leaders, Elam is a house of wickedness and adultery. Elam is a church which is the house of wickedness and adultery. That's what Elam is. Tell them I said, Elam is wickedness and adultery. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign. Willow found guilty of all four charges of bogus healing, fraudulent fundraising. See it in the papers? The UK Advertising Standards Council found them guilty of all four charges. Doesn't stop Elam from giving them full page ads. Rodney Brown, a wicked and adulterous generation. Wickedness and adultery. I'm a Pentecostal. I believe in signs and wonders practiced biblically. These signs follow. Signs are never the issue. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. They have a miracle crusade. That's what's happening. We've gone away from the Bible. Just like in Judges when the Jews went away from the Bible. Foreigners invade their land. Cults, Eastern religion, ecumenism, an ancient enemy that Rome was an ancient enemy. That the blood of Christian martyrs like Tyndale and Ridley and Latimer and Hooper was shed in this country to free this nation from the filthy curse of Roman Catholicism and its pagan idolatry. Now, church, I've gone away from the Bible. Just like. So here we are in a valley. On the bright side, there's the hill of Moray. There is a spring. And the Lord said to Gideon, there's too many with you. Israel become boastful. Meaningless, the kingdom now, people. Now is the time for us. Yeah, now is the time for you. Building a kingdom of power, not of words. Well, encourage your words. Where's your power? You haven't got any. Kansas City didn't bring it. Well, you said it would, Mr. Coates. Toronto didn't bring it, Mr. Coates. Where is it? To whom will God deal with the tents of Midian? Now therefore come, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. Whenever we go to Israel, we have a Bible study at Mount Gilead. Give the people an opportunity to either kneel down and drink like a man, or lay flat and lap like a dog. I would point out that it's describing drinking, not behavior. We have today people imitating dogs, not only lapping like dogs, but barking like dogs, and saying that they're getting living water. Whatever they're getting, it's not living water, because they're not tearing down the tents of Midian. The only thing that's happening is unsafe people see the 9 o'clock service on the news, and the church is discredited. Place in the Bible for animal imitations, of course, in the mind of the God's judgment is on these churches. Simply meant those who would lay flat and go like this, as opposed to those who would kneel, who weren't desperate for the water and cared what others thought. Knelt down. So the first thing that happens is 22,000 people come. No, 32,000 go and 10 are left. When we begin a Misgav Ladak in Walsall, or in Wigan, or in Bangor, or in Rotherham, or in Hastings, or in anywhere, it's always the same pattern. A lot of people come at. They're very enthusiastic. Then it goes down. And steadily it builds up. God is always more interested in quality than he is in quantity. Always. Jesus had the 12, like concentric circles, then the 70, then the 120, then the 500. We can't be sure that Jesus had many more than 500 committed converts, followers. But what he had was qualitative. He had a foundation. Once you have the right foundation, then you can build as high as you want. Once you have the quality, you can handle the quantity. They could handle 3,000 on the day of Pentecost and 4,000 the next day. Why? Because the quality was there. God's way is not like ours. We want to have big rallies and get the numbers in. Mike Price. What did he say? There's 8,000 mistakes in the Bible. Praise the Lord for the shorter word of prophecy. Get the numbers in. You ever notice the maverick churches that get the big numbers quick seem to collapse so quickly? It's the ones with the foundation that have slow, steady growth that seem to last. You ever notice that? The world goes for fast growth. God goes for qualitative growth, even though it takes longer to get it last once you get it. So the first thing that happens is 32,000 people show up. Remember the first meeting we had in Walsall? First couple of meetings? 32,000 people showed up. Wigan, 32,000 people showed up. Bangor, 32,000. But then the first thing God says, this is never going to work. I can't give victory to all these people. Get rid of the chicken. Those who are afraid. So the following Sunday, these people are in their Toronto church or their ecumenical church or King Standing or whatever it is. And they get warned. And they get afraid and stop coming. They get intimidated by the Sanhedrin. They think they stop coming. No. God got rid of the chicken. They didn't stop coming. The Lord removed them. He's interested in quality, not quantity. Get the quality, then the quantity comes easy. The first thing he says is, get rid of the chicken. When I come to a meeting like this, to a meeting in Wigan, Walsall, or Hastings, the first thing I do is thank the Lord for those who came. Equally as important, I thank the Lord for those who left. So 22,000 leave. Then you're down to 10,000. But then let's see. The Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I'll test them for you. Therefore it shall be that he of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But everyone I say to you, this one shall not go, he shall not go. So he brought them down. And you wind up with 300. Those who are really desperate for the things of God. Remember Noah's Ark? Type of the church, isn't it? 30 cubits tall, number of spiritual maturity. Jesus begins his ministry when he's 30. David begins his reign as king when he's 30. 50 cubits wide. Number of the Holy Spirit, day of Pentecost, right? Cubits long. The elect. The elite. Not the royal forces. Only the SAS. 300 men. Let the others go home. Go back. The assemblies. Oh, I go to one assembly for God's church, but mine couldn't go with me. Coming out of the AOG anyway. Just dropping. So the 300 men took the people's provision and their trumpets in their hands, and Gideon said the others, the men of Israel, each to his tent. But retained the 300 men, and the camp of Midian was below them. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said, arise, go down against the camp. I've given it into your hands. But if you're afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp. You'll hear what they say, and afterwards your hands will be strengthened that you may go down against the camp. So he went with Purah, his servant, down to the outpost of the army that was in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, and the Muslims and Hindus, the Jesuits, were lying in the valley as numerous as the locusts. Their camels were without number, numerous as the sand on the seashore, just like the descendants of Abraham in Genesis. When Gideon came, behold, the man was relating a dream to his friend and said, behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian. And it came to the tent and struck it so it fell and turned it upside down, so the tent laid flat. And his friend answered and said, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. And it came about when Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, bowed in worship, he turned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian. The tent of Midian. The tent of the Amalekites. God's people go away from the Torah, and now the heathen have invaded the land, and his people are pushed back. Where are they? They're in the tents of Midian. They're in the tents of Amalek. They're in the mosque, Kingdom Hall. They're in the Hindu and Sikh temple. But something is going to happen. A loaf of bread is going to demolish the tent. Something is going to bulldoze the tents of Midian. Something has the capacity to bulldoze and demolish the tents of Amalek. Something has the potential to demolish the mosques. Something has the potential to demolish the Roman Catholic churches. Something has the potential to demolish the Hindu temples. It is the sword of Gideon. It is a loaf of bread. What is our grain? And they know it. They're afraid of it. Where did I learn how to preach? It was not in theological seminary. No. I used to go to theological cemetery during the week to learn about the Bible. Then I used to go to Speaker's Corner in London on Sunday to learn what the Bible was about. That's where I learned how to preach. Being heckled. Being attacked. Saying things that those who dwelt in the tents of Midian were down there, standing up. Sometimes they'd be physically attacked. Gangs of Muslims. 40 Muslims. Never forget the day I stood up in Speaker's Corner during the time of the Iran and Iraq War, like this. I had a Bible in my hand, loaf of bread. A lot of Muslims there. And in this hand, I had a Quran. I watched the loaf of bread demolished. I said, I have two books here. They both claim to be the Word of God. The Bible and the Quran. It says in the book of Genesis, Ishmael's seed will always be divided. His sword is against his brother. Islam teaches that it was Ishmael, not Isaac. But the Bible says, his seed will always be divided. Arabs are not one nation and one people. They're a divided nation and a divided people. His sword will be against his brother. And always will until they accept the Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. However, here I have the Quran, which says it was not Isaac but Ishmael that was the son of promise. And it was Isaac who was put on the altar. He sacrificed by his father as Jesus died for our sins, but the Quran says no, it's Ishmael the son of God. And it says his sword will not be against his brother. I'm reading from a surah in the Quran called Ummah. Muslims are one nation and one people. Well, you know what? I saw the king of Saudi Arabia on television last night on the news. He was saying, help England, help America, help Christians, come and save me from my Muslim brothers, save me from the jihad, save me from Saddam Hussein, Christians, come save me. You know why? Because the Word of God is true and the Quran is a lie. Muslims are not one nation and one people. There's no Ummah like the Quran says. They're a divided nation and a divided people like the Word of God says. King Hussein of Jordan killed 20,000 Palestinians in Black September 1970. 20,000. That's a lot more than the Israelis ever killed. Muslim against Muslim. You know why? Because the Word of God is true, and the Quran is a lie. You Muslims are not one nation and one people, like the Quran says. You're a divided nation and a divided people, like the Word of God. And the war between Iran and Iraq, over 1 million Muslims were killed by other Muslims in jihad. Holy war between Sunnis and Shias. You know why? Because the word of God is true and the Koran is a lie. You're not one nation and one people like the Koran says. You're a divided nation. Your sword will be against your brother. And then they begin. So I said, hey, Muhammad! You're from Kuwait? He's from Iraq. I bet you his brother's raping your mother right now. You know why? Because the word of God is true and the Koran is a lie. Then the Christians, so-called, come and liberate Kuwait. Within 24 hours, what is Saddam Hussein doing? The Iraqi army is in Basra doing what the Muslim armies do best, exterminating their own people. Meanwhile, the Kuwaitis begin exterminating the Palestinians and pogroms. You know why? Word of God. Hey, you, blood. Yeah, you converted to Islam, huh? Let me ask you something. Who killed Malcolm X? Was it the Ku Klux Klan? Was it a white man? No. It was a Muslim. Followers of Elijah B. Muhammad killed Malcolm X. You know why? Leaving a lie, sucker. Most jihads are Muslims fighting other Muslims. So I turn to another surah in the Quran. Jihad, holy war. Allah will give the Muslim victory over the infidel in jihad. Then how come after six jihads, 120 million Muslims can't beat 3 million Jews? Israel proved your religion is a pack of lies. Why don't you repent and accept Jesus? Praising the Lord in Arabic. That day, a loaf of bread hit the tents of Midian. Hinduism? Don't make me laugh. Gee, what a religion. That caligar must be delicious. Drink it. They think it's holy. Forget about mad cow disease. They have mad people. Look what that religion has done for that country. People drinking water from the Ganges because they think it's sacred and giving it to little babies who die of cholera, but that's okay. It's their karma. Next time they'll come back to the baboon. If Eastern religion is so good, how come so many people from India are trying to live in Birmingham? Go down to Terminal 3 at King's Head, Heathrow Airport any morning, see them queued up trying to get in here. Roman Catholicism? Loaf of bread. Koran is a lie. Bhagavad Gita is a lie. Catechism is a lie. This is what it is. Loaf of bread. This book is at least as much meaning for us today as it did the day it was written. Maybe more. Turn with me, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. You see, the reason you gotta get rid of the chickens is this. If Christians don't have the guts to stand up against corruption in the church, if they don't have the guts to stand up to Copeland and Hagin and Rodney Brown and Colin Dye and Wynn Lewis and Marvis Cirillo, if they don't have the guts to stand up to backsliders and false prophets in the church, how are they going to stand up to Islam, to Ahmed Didat and Louis Farrakhan? How are they going to do it? And Salim Kadiki. They don't even have the guts to stand up to homosexual clergy in their own denomination. What, withhold my tithe? My pastor will get angry. Yeah, well, if you're in Elam, 10% of your tithe is going to pay for the denomination's promotion of corruption. Assemblies of God, better. Autonomous, but you're still paying for the central fund somewhat. Church of England, evangelicals give a disproportionately large amount of the offerings. Diocesan fund, there you are, evangelical Anglican, paying the salary of the homosexual vicar in the next parish. They don't have the guts to stand up to what's wrong in the church. How are they going to stand up to Amalek and Midian? Get rid of the chickens. And then get rid of those who care what other people think about them. 22,000, then 10,000. Who's left? Now we'll get 2 Corinthians. Verse 6. For God said, light shall shine out of darkness. Is the one who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Messiah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about the body, the dying of Jesus, that the life may be manifested in our body. What we are of ourselves is dying, treasure and the light that's earthenware vessel. Again, Adam from Adam, Adamah, earth. Reddish clay of the Middle East. A human being is called the Ben Adam, son of Adam. Treasure is an earthenware vessel. Got this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine like the old-time Pentecostals used to sing. How do you let it shine? You've got to get the light out of the earthenware vessel. Look at this now. 7:1. Rise up, consecrate the people. In the morning you shall come near by your tribe. Shall be the tribe which the Lord takes by lot, shall come near by family. Family which the Lord takes shall come near by household, and the household the Lord takes shall come near man by man. It shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall burn, etc., etc., and all this kind of stuff goes on. I'm reading the corresponding passage. He calls them out according to a certain pattern. Family by family, tribe by tribe. But then man by man. You see, in every tribe, in every family, there's one he's looking for to make up this company. There are Pentecostals. There are Baptists. There are Anglicans. There are Independents. Family by family, tribe by tribe, but then ultimately it's man by man. See it in Joshua. You see it in Judges. Both of these books are about spiritual warfare. So as we get into Judges, see what happens. He divided in verse 16 the 300 men into three companies. My sheep will hear my voice, and 100 sheep made one flock. It's interesting. Company had 100. And he put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hand, with torches inside the pitchers. Hebrew word for torches, lapid. It makes the flame, shall have it Yah, the flame of Yahweh. Genesis 15. Remember, Abraham cuts the covenant and the flame of Yahweh goes between the bisected carcass and the suzerainty ritual, making the covenant. What does Paul say?
Well, we've got the treasure, we've got the light, he says. He even talks about light in verse 6, doesn't he, in 2 Corinthians? The light is inside what?
The earthenware vessel, the pitcher. Who's the 300? What are we made out of? Earth, Adamah, those who are willing to die to themselves, to the human nature, to the old nature, and let the light come out. Those are the people that are going to bring the victory. Those who love not their lives in this world, even unto death.
Who bought the victory last time? Who threw back Roman Catholicism last time? Tyndale? Hooper? Ridley? Latimer? What happened to them? They were killed, most of them, weren't they? Queen Mary murdered these people. Wolsey murdered them.
What did they say? What? He was down to Oxford when they burned Ridley and Latimer? Fear not, O Ridley, tonight we light a flame in England that neither the powers of hell shall be able to extinguish, something like that.
The monument down there in Oxford where the Catholics burned them.
And it happened. They won. It was like that, like the Tertullians, one of the martyrs at the feet of the church. Not saying we all have to die, but we all have to be willing to, and we all have to die to ourselves.
You really want the light to shine? This earthenware vessel must be smashed.
He's not looking for 22,000. He's not looking for 10,000. There's no big popular movement, no great renewal, no phenomena, no Toronto, no Kansas City, no charismatic nothing that is going to have a chance to turn this nation around for Christ. No big popular movement. No way. Forget about it. Let them have marches one after another all they want. It never happened that way. It didn't happen that way in the Bible. It didn't happen that way in church history. And no matter what Graham Kendrick tells you, it's not going to happen that way now.
It's going to happen this way. The way it always happened.
If it's going to happen, it'll be like this. Get me to 300. Tribe by tribe, family by family, man by man. Also, get me 300 treasures in earthenware vessels. 300 pitchers that are willing to be broken for the light of God. Verse 18, when I and all who are with you, with me, blow the trumpet, you blow the trumpet also, for the Lord is for Gideon. Verse 20, three companies blew the trumpet, they broke the pitcher, they held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right, sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And the enemies collapsed. They turn on each other. You have to understand something about Islam. The reason they need jihad against the non-Muslim is to stop them from killing each other. That's the real reason that Muslims hate Israel so much. It's the only thing they can agree on. They need a common enemy to stop them killing each other. Hindus and Sikhs, they hate each other. There's rival factions of the Hindus. Who killed Mahatma Gandhi, another Hindu? They'll turn on each other. Providing the trumpets are blown by the right people, carrying the right light, who are willing to do what's necessary to have the light seen, be broken. Be broken or be crushed. That's the way it was. That's the way it's always been.
And if God can get his hand on 300 people, that's the way it's going to be. God bless you.